Let us help you reach your peak in retirement. It's time for Retirement Elevated with Sean Lee.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Retirement Elevated with Sean P. Lee of Elevated Retirement Group. He's the managing partner serving right here in the Salt Lake City area. And of course, you can check out Sean and the team online at ElevateMyRetirement.com. That's ElevateMyRetirement.com. If you've got questions or concerns anytime throughout the podcast and you're listening, something kind of trips your trigger and you want to talk more in depth, feel free to reach out to him at 855-50-RETIRE. That's 855-50-RETIRE. You can also share this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and various other places as well. Sean, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me here on your inaugural podcast, if you will. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're excited. This will be fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. We got a lot of good things to talk about when we do these. We're going to probably do 10 or 15 minute little podcasts weekly, I believe, is the idea. And hopefully we can share some useful information that your clients and friends of clients and things of that might find useful. So today I want to talk with you, if you feel up to it, about 10 questions that you should ask your first, next, or maybe last financial advisor. You tell me, but I got a list of questions here. You want to tackle these with me?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a real important topic right now, especially with everything that's gone on with the Department of Labor's new fiduciary rule and really taking the time to find that right advisor for your current situation.
Yeah, it's all about having a good fit, right?
You know,
each situation is different, but let me go through this list of 10 here and we'll talk about a few of these. Number one on that list, and you just kind of mentioned the Department of Labor. I'll let you talk more about that, but are you a fiduciary? That's first on our list. What is that? What do we got going on here?
You know, the fiduciary standard, yeah, that's been talked about a lot and you hear it thrown around quite a bit. But the first question that I would ask an advisor is, are you a fiduciary first and foremost? And what that means is that particular advisor has a moral, ethical, but also a legal obligation to do what's in that client's best interest. So they have to sit on the same side of the table as the client and represent them, not necessarily represent a company. But more importantly, asking somebody if they're a fiduciary is one thing, but getting it in writing is another. So ask the individual, will you sign off on that you are a fiduciary?
Oh, okay. Interesting. And you should feel comfortable being able to ask that question.
Yeah, if they're not going to answer that question, then they're probably not a fiduciary.
Okay, well, that's good, yeah.
And if they're not willing to sign off on it, I would take a step back as well. A true fiduciary is willing to answer the question, one, and also sign off on the fact that they are a fiduciary.
Yeah.
At that point, they're representing you as an individual.
Well, you know, I talk to a lot of people, different shows and things of that nature, and suitability, you know, versus fiduciary. I had a guy tell me an interesting story. We've been talking for a long time, and he knows I've actually had open heart surgery a couple of years ago. And he said, let me break it down for you like this. You know, suitability might be you got two friends in the car, and you say, hey, let's pull into McDonald's and get a cheeseburger. And he's like, well, that suitable friend might say, yeah, you know, you had the surgery. They cleaned stuff out. You're doing okay. Go ahead and have the cheeseburger. And he's like, but the fiduciary friend would be like, look, you could do that, but it's not really in your best interest. Here's what I recommend. Let's do something different. I thought that was an interesting way to kind of break that down. The fiduciary is doing what's in your best interest holistically, if you will.
Exactly. All the time they're required to.
Yeah. So that's a great way to think about that. So that's our first question here on 10 questions you want to ask your first, next, or maybe last financial advisor. I love that title. It's pretty cool. All right. Number two, Sean, how are you paid for your services? Now, this might make some people uncomfortable, but it's okay to ask this question clearly.
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter what service you go to, whether you go to a doctor, you know how a doctor gets paid. You go down to a car dealership, you know how a car dealership is going to get paid or the salesman gets paid. Commissions and compensation and fees in the financial world are really hidden in a lot of cases. And so what people to understand is that, hey, advisors get paid a multitude of ways. And there's really only three ways. It's
okay.
Fee only, where the advisor gets paid like an attorney. And they go out and they provide a service for a flat fee or an hourly rate.
Okay.
There's fee-based, which the advisor is paid based on a percentage of assets that are being managed instead of taking commissions. Now, I look at fee-only and fee-based really from a fiduciary standard because then it's the advisor is forced to sit on the same side of the table as the client or the family and provide advice that's in their best interest. So it goes back to that fiduciary question. And then there's commission-based, which this individual can receive commissions from selling investments, such as real estate or insurance products or loans or whatever it may be. And those advisors or those individuals that generally sell product for commission fall under that suitability guideline.
Okay. So these three different types of ways you can get paid, obviously, because as you mentioned, you know, there's no free lunches, right? Everyone has to make a living. So it's certainly okay for you to ask these questions. I mean, when it comes to our financial future, you know, we can't afford to settle. So get nosy, ask the questions that are pertinent. And that's what we're talking about here today on the podcast with Sean Peely of Elevated Retirement Group. And I've got several more of these I want to go through, Sean. So bear with me as we plow our way through this. What licenses, credentials, other certifications, you know, there's that whole alphabet soup out there that can get a little bit confusing, I think, to a lot of people. What should we be looking for? What should we be asking in that vein or that arena?
Well, I would go through and ask, have you advanced your education? And if you have, what designations have you gotten?
Okay.
Now, there's really four main designations that I see that are really the top dogs, we'll call it.
Okay.
You know, the CFP, which is a Certified Financial Planner, that's the most marketed designation, but it's a pretty extensive designation. You've got to go through all major areas of financial planning to get that designation. There's what's called a CHFC, a Chartered Financial Consultant designation, which is also pretty extensive. Retirement Income Certified Professional, RICP, is a newer designation, and that designation focuses on retirement income and building plans as you transition into retirement. And then what's called the MSFS, which is a designation that I carry. It's a Master's of Science in Financial Planning. All advanced designations, all extensive, all require a tremendous amount of study, but also require you to go through and build a financial plan for a board of the designation, and you have to pass off on it.
Right, yeah. So you got to put your time in for sure. And there's definitely right. a lot out there that can confuse people, and that's pretty cool. So I like the one that you've got. Can you say that again for us just so we kind of have some clarity on that?
The MSFS is a Master's of Science in Financial Planning. And all of our advisors here take education seriously. Every advisor that we have in our office has one of those four advanced designations.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. Well, we're talking about the different types of questions that you should ask, a list of 10, if you will, here on the podcast with Sean. And I guess number four, after you've gone through some of the kind of the getting to know you, let me check, you know, your specs here and make sure things are the way I want them to be. What type of services do you and your firm provide? Because there's a lot of conversation out there about people who maybe work with folks of all different ages or a specific set of group of ages or whatever the case is. And some people feel more comfortable talking with someone that covers like a one-stop shop. Others prefer someone who kind of targets a specific area. So when you ask that question, what are some things to think about when you're asking about what type of services do you provide?
Well, I really look at it as, you know, what stage of life are you in?
Okay.
You know, are you in that phase of life where you're just starting to save and starting to accumulate some savings and some wealth, and you don't need a lot of the more advanced planning, like more strategic tax planning or healthcare planning that somebody would need when they're transitioning into retirement? They've built a real big nest egg. So when I look at, you know, what services do you or your firm provide, you know, what sort of phase are you in your life? What do you really need? And can you find an advisor or a firm that helps you fill the gaps? And if you don't know what those gaps are, they help point those gaps out for you at whatever phase you're in.
Yeah, you know, we often hear like the accumulation phase, right, and the preservation phase. But it is a different animal when we're switching to that preservation phase, because the distribution and preservation of your wealth for retirement is incredibly important. So you certainly want to make sure you're working with the right type of professional for you. And these are all questions you can ask and feel okay, you know, comfortable asking these. It's a good way to kind of grease the wheels, if you will, and get that conversation started, break the ice. So I guess this four kind of leads right into five here, Sean, but what kind of clients do you specialize in?
Well, and that comes back to the what services do you provide? As an advisor, are you a generalist or are you a specialist? I've had some shoulder issues from playing baseball for years, and you know, I could have gone to my general physician and had him take a look at my shoulder, and he probably could have at least given me some idea what was going on.
Really?
But I went to a shoulder specialist, and rather than having to just jump in and do surgery right away, we chose to do rehab for 9 months. That specialist knew what I needed from that particular part of my body, how to recover and how to get better. That's the same thing within the advisory world. Now, do you want an advisor who's going to help you, you know, accumulate money and learn how to save into your 401k or save into a Roth or whatever it may be? Or are you at the phase of your life where you're transitioning from working and accumulating wealth to creating income and helping you to navigate some of life's obstacles when it comes to creating income and making that transition.
Well, Sean, when we're talking about these questions, this next one here on this list is, it's interesting for me. So I know this could make some people feel uncomfortable, but the question would be, could I see a sample of the types of financial strategies you prepare for your clients? Is that something that a lot of guys in your field get asked? Is it something that they're comfortable with? What are we doing here?
You know, when we look at planning, I'm a big believer that you can't build a plan on one page. And so when we work with clients and we work with individuals and families, they surely should be able to see a full-blown sample of a plan. Because if you don't see that, you're never going to know what sort of work goes into building a real plan.
No, that's one a fair that, point, yeah.
Yeah, one that can be followed, right? And if I just go down this path and if I'm going to drive to Phoenix and I don't have a map, I'm just going to jump in the car and I'm not going to follow any road signs. I'm just going to jump in the car and go. There's a chance that I'm going to get lost. But if I've got a map and a guide that I can follow, whether it's GPS or a map, or if I even just follow the road signs, I've got a pretty high probability that I'm going to get to my destination as expected.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a good point the way you bring that up, because a lot of times we spend so much time when we talk about these things saying, well, each person's situation is different and unique, and it's kind of hard to pin things down until you really start to get to know and understand that person's individual situation. And that's true, clearly, but I think that's a good way that you put that, that there should be a way that you can provide some samples of the types of strategies that you're going to work with, because then once you get to know the person, right, then you're steering the car in that more specific direction for that individual. So that's a good point. It's a good way of putting that. Now, how much contact do you have with your clients? This is a big sticking point for a lot of people. When I talk to people all across the country, I hear, oh, my advisor hardly ever calls me, or, you know, I see them twice a year, once a quarter, so on and so forth.
That's exactly it. I mean, you, depending on where the advisor falls, whether it's fiduciary versus suitability, I hear it all across the spectrum. So how much contact do you have with your clients? Ask that question. I want to get a good idea or understanding. Am I going to meet with you once a year, twice a year? Or is it just going to be when I call you because I'm reacting?
Right.
A good advisor, a good plan, the advisor will give you what's called a proactive service timeline. And all that is, that's just a written timeline of when you as an individual should expect to be contacted by your advisor. You know, is it twice a year, three times a year? When do I get reviews? If I reach out to you, when will I get a call back? You know, all those different areas would be on a proactive services guideline for that client.
Yeah, set the expectation, right? So whatever the expectation is going to be for the client and for the advisor, just set it ahead of time. And that certainly can go a long way towards helping any confusion. You know, I know sometimes, you know, the old saying is, if you only ever hear from your broker, if you will, when they're trying to sell you a product, well, that might be a sign that it's not the right person for you, because they're not really advising you about all your needs.
Exactly.
Yeah. So again, set those expectations ahead of time. Well, we're talking about 10 questions that you could ask or should be asking your first, next, or maybe last financial advisor. We've gone through quite a few of them here. We're on to number 8. So we're kind of winding this down a little bit. And there's been some good things here to think about if you find yourself in this similar situation. And of course, we appreciate your time here on the podcast, and feel free to share this with anyone that might be able to benefit from some of this information as well. Now, a lot of times, Sean, depending on the size of the firm, I think a lot of clients want to know, you know, who am I going to be working with? Am I working with you, the person I start out talking to, or will I be kind of moved around, things of that nature?
Yeah, will I be working with you or your team?
Yeah.
And I think this is important. Life happens. And so if you've got an advisor that's just by themselves, and you'll call it the solo practitioner, and and something goes wrong, you know, get in a car accident, you become laid up for a month or two, what's happening to your plan? Who's overseeing that if it's just one individual person that oversees things?
Good point.
I'm a big believer in the team mentality. Not only have your lead advisor, the individual that kind of oversees everything, but have people that can answer questions, that understand, you know, what's going on inside of the plan, what's going on if there are withdrawal strategies. That way, if lead advisor gets sick, hurt, disabled, killed, you know, whatever it may be, there's somebody who can step in right away and keep that plan moving forward.
Well, what is your approach to retirement planning, Sean? That's number 9 on the list. And certainly a good question to ask. You know, when you're sitting down, you want to feel comfortable with the person across from you and have a good rapport. So, you know, what is your approach to retirement planning? Another great question to ask.
Yeah. And you look at this, and when you meet with somebody and you want to make sure that your goals align, right? You want to make sure that, hey, I want to build my plan based off of X, Y, and Z assets that I have. But from a risk perspective, I'm not super aggressive or I'm not really conservative. So do you have the ability as an advisor to build a plan that is unique to me? So when I look at our approach is pretty simple, because what I found is that everybody falls under one of three categories. It doesn't matter if they've got millions of dollars, it doesn't matter if they've got $100,000. When they're moving into retirement, they fall into one of three categories when they create their income. And the first one is, Sean, we want to build our income protected. We just want mailbox money. We want guaranteed income. We don't even want to think about it. Just make sure that our income comes in consistently, and we want zero risk. We just want it protected. Now, if you're that kind of person, own it, know who you are, and then just find the right vehicles when it comes to the investment side that accomplish that. Then there's the person that falls on the other end of the spectrum, which is the person who says, you know what? I don't want protected money. I want market-based money, and that's how I'm going to create my income. And that's okay too. I mean, as long as you know who you are and what your comfort level is, you can build strategies that are market-based where you're generating income through dividends or whatever it may be. So those are the two broad ends of the spectrum: protected person, market person. But then the other person is a person that falls somewhere in between. We'll call them their combo person. They want some protected income because they want a little bit of security, a little bit of safety, and then they want market-based income to complement it. Everybody falls under one of those three categories. The key is finding out who you are.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, you've got to be honest with yourself and figure out who you are so that you can, you know, share that appropriately with your advisor so that you're on the same page. I would imagine that most of us probably fall into that middle because hopefully, well, maybe not, but I was going to say hopefully a lot of us do realize that we do have to keep up with inflation. So you've got to have some in the market, I would think anyway.
Yeah. I mean, and when you look at it, say, if your income, if you needed, we'll throw out $60,000 a year,
sure,
and then from pensions and Social Security, you had $50,000 coming in. Well, you've only got a gap of $10,000. Well, at that point, how do you want that solved? You could make the determination protected, market, combo, and then you leave the rest of the money once you've solved that income problem to grow and accumulate and do its job.
Fantastic. Well, a lot of different things to think about. We've discussed our list here of 10 things to ask your potential, you know, first, next, or last advisor. And the final one here, Sean, number 10 on this list is asking, have you ever been publicly disciplined for any unlawful or unethical actions during your career? Certainly a big question here.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I put this question out here is, as a person who's transitioning into retirement or as somebody who's accumulated some wealth, I would want to know if the person who's sitting across from the table from me can handle their own finances. And have they built plans that are in their best interest, or have they gotten in trouble from the SEC or from FINRA because they did something that was wrong? Now, I would also go a little bit further with that, not just ask if they've been publicly disciplined, but also ask, you know, have you ever filed for bankruptcy? Have you ever had a car repossessed? You know, have you ever settled on some debt or whatever it may be? I want to know if that advisor has their affairs in order. And if they're not willing to answer that question, there are places that you can go to find out. You can go to the SEC and do an advisor search and research that individual. You can go to FINRA and do a broker check and research that individual. So there are places that you can go, but I want to ask that question right up front so I know what I'm getting into.
Well, you've been listening to the podcast. We certainly appreciate your time. You know, one thing to take away from this list, and this is a list of 10 questions to ask, and it's a really a good comprehensive list, is just make sure you interview more than one financial professional and or firm to find the person that's easy to talk with, who understands you, that you feel good about. You know, it's okay to go out and talk with a couple different people and find the right advisor that's out there waiting for you. And of course, Sean P. Lee, MSFS, is the president and founder at Elevated Retirement Group here in Murray, Utah, and able to help you. We certainly appreciate your time on the podcast. This is Retirement Elevated. And as I mentioned before, check them out online, elevatemyretirement.com. Share this on iTunes or Stitcher, various other podcast platforms, or just give them a jingle if you have some questions about these top 10 questions we talked about. 855-50-RETIRE. 855-50-RETIRE. Sean, thanks for your time, my friend. Have a great week.
Hey, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Investment advisory services offered through Elevated Capital Advisors, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.